Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, we're celebrating 40 years in the ministry. Join us as we look at the obedience, faith, integrity, love, and impact this ministry has had on the nations of the earth. Walk through time as we honor God for all He's done through Kenneth Copeland Ministries for the past 40 years.
Are you ready for the Believer's Voice of Victory? It's Thursday. I'm Terry Copeland Pearsons, and I'm here with my sweet brother John and my sweet sister Kelly. We're just hanging out in the attic. This is sort of just a set to kind of give us an inspiration to talk about the things of the past. You know, the Bible talks a lot about remembrance. Jesus said, hey, when you take communion, do this and remember. The Lord wants us to remember, and it's remembering His goodness and His faithfulness. The other day, I guess yesterday, we were talking about many of the first-time things, the milestones, the breakthroughs that the Lord allowed us to be a part of, not only for our ministry, but for the body of Christ and some things, even the whole world. Technology and radio and television, some first-time things. People don't realize what it was like back in 1979. There was not Christian television on every station. But I was thinking about this actually yesterday, pondering that and thinking about the goodness of God and those breakthroughs that we had. They were pretty phenomenal things to the glory of God. But I thought about something else that really struck my heart, and it's the first time I had put it in this light. And I was thinking back in 1980, because back then I was the producer for the Believer's Voice of Victory. We had only been on the air a year, not even quite a year, and we did our first taping of Healing School. And that was, of course, with Gloria Copeland, Sister Copeland, and doing that. And I thought all of a sudden, it was like the Lord opened my eyes, and I remembered back, there were no women on television that I can recall. Certainly not anyone that was so noteworthy that I can remember it now, or that's still going now on a national basis. The women that had been there before were wonderful, Catherine Kuhlman. But Catherine had already passed on to heaven, and she was a very flamboyant woman, but she didn't really teach the word. She talked along about it, but our ministry was more in miracles and so forth. But boy, in 1980, Gloria Copeland took the pulpit, and just though it was not what she wanted to do, she did it out of obedience. Mm-hmm. The Lord said, I want you to preach Healing School. So she started to do it, and literally in fear and trembling took hold of that podium, began to speak the Word of God. And it was a slow but very steady climb. It took a while. She warmed up. The people warmed up. And after all these years now, being on television, over 25 years, there are women on television all over the place. But that was a groundbreaking effort, that just obedience to God, being faithful and stay true to the integrity of the Word. And look what happened. Not only have people been healed all over the world, thousands of times over, but it opened the door, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, for women to take a pulpit and a place in television that didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. So that was really a remarkable thing. Made a way for you, for me, and others like us to come be on television and it not be a shock. People were mad about it back then, but praise the Lord, not so much anymore. But I look back on that. The radio and TV, all those things. And I think the Lord summed it up in 1976 when He told Dad, I want this uncompromised message of faith on every available voice. And we were hitting the technology, you know, the technical voices, radio, TV, satellite. But then there was the personal. First it was Dad, a microphone on a platform, just him. But then Gloria stepped up to be a voice in a pulpit. And now we look and we have a whole heritage of the voice of the Word being multiplied.
You know, I've always been so proud of Mom for that, because she didn't talk. She didn't like talking. That was not... And you know
shy.
What? When you said she did that out of obedience, and she relied on the Word. She really didn't get up there and do a lot of talking, actually. She was just using the word, reading the word. But, you know, people got healed. People got set free. And that's always inspired me, that she would just do what she didn't want to do. And as we grew up seeing those things, we had such a heritage that we would be in the ministry and walk in the things really more naturally than a lot of people, because they had to learn them later. But faith and integrity and all those things, we walked in somewhat naturally because they so modeled that for us. And so as we walked those things out, and they gave us a place, you know, I sang. John said earlier, you stunk when you sang when you first started. And I said, I know. I knew it. And sometimes I'd get up there and I'd come down embarrassed. But you know what? They kept us doing what they knew. They based it on the call of God on our life, not on our abilities, mm-hmm. not what we were able to do. So I'm sure I embarrassed them, but they were proud anyway. But out of faith, they put us up there knowing that we were called. And so we were an available voice. You know, then came our children. You know, the devil's tried to stop this next generation. He tried to kill Jenny in a car wreck. That's my daughter. He tried to kill Lindsay with spinal meningitis. She almost died. You know, he attacked Max with rheumatic fever, and he was healed. They were all miraculously healed.
Praise God.
And John, your family, he tried to stop your family from ever being born.
Yes, he sure did.
I think we'd been married about 3 years before I really wanted to have a baby. It was okay that it might take a few months or whatever, but the years started rolling by, and it started becoming evident that something was wrong.
The thing that bothered me is bothering her. And so I think it was just the trying to figure out what's God's answer here, believing for wisdom and what do we do next.
And so I just went to the Word and went to prayer and started confessing the Word. And then, you know, time kept going by. One day, Mary Niece called me. John's grandmother called me. And she'd been reading about Samuel. And she said, Marty, the Lord just put it on my heart to call you and share the Scripture with you. And so what the Lord showed me from these Scriptures is it just went off in my heart that, you know, God's no respecter of persons. If Hannah could get before the Lord and cry out, and he would literally open her womb, well, if he did it for her, he would do it for me. And eventually, I went to this doctor, and they discovered that I had some scar tissue on my ovaries, and I had some laparoscopic surgeries done. And really, there's no 100% proof of if it was just supernaturally my womb opened or if that procedure is what enabled us to get pregnant. But I know that that process of faith and believing God for children through that word from his grandmother and the story of Hannah allowed me to get out of fear, get out of hopelessness, and it just reignited my faith.
So then Courtney was born in 1993, and then we were ready to start trying again for another child.
You know, we were excited to have another child, and we really wanted a boy. And we've talked about, you know, if it's not a boy, are we going to stop at two? And, you know, of course, originally we wanted four. Then we had one, and then we cut it down to two would be preferable. So, but that's where we were at, you know. We were excited about it.
My second pregnancy, I miscarried. The doctor's like, this happens all the time. You wouldn't believe how common this is. But here we go again. So we get pregnant again. Well, then I miscarry again. Well, then the second one, you know, is different. You know, here the enemy comes at us in the beginning where I couldn't get pregnant. Well, now I can get pregnant, but I can't maintain a healthy pregnancy. And so we went through this process several times.
Had five miscarriages.
Uh-huh. And the reason I kept going is because I just knew we were supposed to have a son, and I was willing to fight for our son. And so I'm seeing this pattern here of, you know, word from the Lord, rhema word, standing in faith, and then working in conjunction with a doctor. But I had found a doctor who had diagnosed me with antiphospholipid antibodies in my blood. So if you have the antibodies present in your blood, you cannot maintain a healthy pregnancy. And I had been told by a doctor, if you were my wife and that was the only chance you had of getting pregnant, I would not let you do these shots. Don't do these shots. You do shots of blood thinner twice a day, every day, heparin. And so I thought, well, you know, Lord, I know you want me to have another baby, but I know you don't want me to put my life in jeopardy, so I need some time to get in faith. Because I wasn't in faith at that time, and I kept staying in the Word about it, going at it from different angles like I did with Courtney. And finally, when I was at a place of peace, and I'll never forget, I was watching TV one afternoon, and there was this woman on television that was talking about doing those shots and was holding a baby in her arms. And I knew when I saw it that God had me see that to restore my faith and not be afraid of that. So I was willing to do the shots, went to the doctor, you know, signed all these forms of I could die and all this stuff, and stayed in faith and did the shots, never had a problem, had a healthy baby. And then turned around and had a third healthy baby doing it the same way.
Couldn't quit having babies at that point.
Yeah. First we couldn't get pregnant. Then we couldn't maintain a pregnancy. And then John had surgery so we wouldn't get pregnant. And then we had another baby. So, you know, the faith keeps working and working and working.
We have three wonderful children, you know, and they're the apple of our eyes, you know. And it's just, it's really good when you see God is always faithful.
Everybody thinks their kids are great, but ours are really great.
All three of them are so different, but you see the gifts in each one of them, you know, and so I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, it's definitely worth the fight.
Wow, Don, that is one good-looking group you have got at your house. I am so thankful.
Me too.
I'm so thankful.
God's blessed us.
We're all blessed.
You know, it's wonderful to see your kids grow up and grow up in faith and grow up learning how to use their faith. You know, a lot of people would say, have said that, you know, Word of Faith teaches that you don't ever have problems. And that's just not true. I mean, our family's been faced with adversities. We're blessed. It's not very often, and it's not as much as some because, you know, seeds you sow are seeds you reap. So you sow good seeds, but sometimes, you know, you just go through something and it's not really that you don't face obstacles and you don't face adversities. It's what do you do when you're faced with those adversities? How do you handle yourself? What do you do? Do you take authority over it? Do you stand on the Word? Or do you just kind of cave and feel sorry for yourself and cry about it? I mean, you have a choice. And I think that's the difference from the way we were raised than I would say the majority of people is that we're raised to not just take it as it comes and, oh, well, I guess this is what I have to live with. But you fight it, you stand against it, and you come out on the other side.
I heard you say in church one day, it's so good to know what to do when trouble comes. And I guess that describes our family all the way from mom and dad to the kids. I've watched our kids, every one of them, I've watched them stand against whatever comes, whether it's I hurt my ankle or something life-threatening.
Or people being mean.
People being mean to you. They've stood on the Word. Stood on the Word in the purity of their life.
Yes.
And, John, I look at your kids, and you've got the youngest. I'm so excited to see what God's going to do with them in this ministry. We're already beginning to see how God's called. He's, you know, Jeremy, he's such a man of God and minister of the gospel. He's so effective when he preaches to the youth. And then Aubrey is an amazing voice. We did recording project with Aubrey and Rachel and Lindsay and Jenny. Those are my girls.
And you.
And me, yes. And you know
what?
You don't
stink anymore, Kelly.
No,
your music is good.
Oh, thank you.
It's wonderful.
Thank you. But you know what?
Silly thing brothers say.
It was true. You know, but the watching the Lord move us all. Move our kid. You know, Jenny couldn't sing. Lindsay couldn't sing. The Lord just moves in them. It doesn't matter what you can do, what you can't do, the anointing and the call of God, if that's what you base your life on, He will move you into the place that you belong. And I've just watched that with all of the kids. Max is 16 years old. He's passionate about the Lord and passionate, and he's beginning to understand what he's called to do. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see. Those are the next available voices. And you know what? You're going to be hearing from those voices more and more here because the Word of God is working in their life very powerfully. I read a scripture recently that said that God is faithful to every generation. Every generation. So it's not just radio and TV that's a voice. We've got all these voices. You're going to enjoy hearing from them. And you know, Terry, people are hearing from voices that have come up under this ministry as well.
You know, I was thinking back too about, I don't remember exactly when it was, but very early on when we were very small, the dad says they took and got up on the bed with their Bibles and lots of translations and concordances and spent the day just looking up scriptures, looking up to see what the Word has to say about our children. And he said, we settled it before God that our children are not going to hell. And they settled that on the Word, put their faith in it, and then began to do what the Lord showed them to do, which at the time, there wasn't a lot of teaching and training, just obey God, follow the Holy Spirit, and put the Word in. And to begin to structure our lives so that when we were raised up, we became the voice mm-hmm. of the next generation. And you know what? Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. It's not about Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's about anybody that will do what the Lord tells them to do. God was looking for that with Abraham. And he said, I found a man that'll teach his children. And so it was a covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Every generation began to preach. And so the voice of the uncompromised Word of God is multiplied through, of course, all the things like radio and TV, magazines, books, internet. But it's also beginning to be preached and distributed through all the voices of our family. But you know, then besides that, God has really done something special in this ministry. That when Dad stood alone at the beginning, now it's not only his wife and children that are standing next to him proclaiming that uncompromised Word, but there are untold thousands of pastors and ministers. People don't know what it was like back in 1967, 1970, 1973 and 4 when you couldn't find a faith church on the corner. You didn't even, Word of Faith, nobody knew what that was. Dad would go to those churches and pastors would stand up and say, don't believe that, that's not true. And to fight against that opposition, but eventually that Word of Faith did break through. And now the biggest churches in the world are full of faith and full of the Word. Hallelujah. And so out of that, God's been faithful to bring Dad spiritual sons. And they are another one of those available voices to preach the uncompromised Word.
I look at a spiritual father as someone who has birthed this in you. And that's what he did for me. He brought the gospel to me like I'd never heard before. And through his tapes and books, he helped me gain an understanding of who I was in Christ, what I was in Christ, what I could have in Christ, what I could do in Christ. And as a result of that, it has caused spiritual growth in my life, and then having the privilege to work with him and to preach with him and come together with him from time to time. You know, even though Brother Copeland treats me as his equal, he will always be my spiritual father.
I've never found a person that didn't change their mind concerning the Word of God. But when I met Kenneth and I met Gloria and I got under their ministry, they didn't change their mind. Would he first preach, he's still preaching today. He's added a lot more light to it as God gave him more revelation. But the foundation is the same. You see, and when you can rely on that, when you know that God doesn't change and the person that you're hearing the Word of God from doesn't change, that is sure success going somewhere to succeed. So I'm glad that through these all these years that I have known him, he has been such a blessing in my life, him and Gloria both, because they say what God says and then they live what God says. And that's the key to Christian success.
I don't know how other people do it. I don't know how they live their lives and never identify who their spiritual parents are. But for the Dollar household, our life has just been so blessed because of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, because of the anointing and the blessing of God that comes from their life onto our lives. Thank you so much for the great things you've done for 40 years. And I will forever thank God for allowing me to find my spiritual parents. I know a lot of people still ask the question, you black and they white. Well, I'm telling you one thing. I might be black on the outside and they white on the outside. But I tell you, when you get past the surface, you'll see why we are connected. It's the power of that grace and the power of that love and the power of that anointing that I completely thank God for my spiritual parents for being who they are, which allows me to be who I am today.
Did you notice what Creflo said about grace? Well, here's the scripture for it. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, assuming you have heard of the stewardship or the distribution of grace that was entrusted to me to dispense to you and the mystery that was made known to me. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. That's God's system for doing things. That's what the ministry is for, is that God pours revelation, understanding, and gives words to it for a minister then to distribute to other people. When you receive that word and you make it your own and you reach for it to make it your own, then the grace that's in those words becomes your own. People think that because we're born into that family, that that's automatic for us. But we had to get it the same way. We had to live it the same way. And there were times when we got outside of living it this way.
Yeah, you two girls were a lot of trouble.
I know.
Y'all weren't wayward. You weren't like me and stayed toeing the line.
Tell the truth, John.
I had my share of trouble. I was the typical preacher's kid that is the wildest one in the bunch. Y'all were both fairly
perfect.
We were.
No.
To mom and dad, y'all were perfect. I knew better. But I went the wrong way for some time, you know, and got off in drugs and drinking and knew what was right. I knew I was taught right. In that scripture that says that if you teach your children, they will not depart from it. And, well, that's what's true in my case. I was taught. I departed, but not completely. I just wanted to party and have a good time. But I came back because I saw that the road I was going down was not producing good fruit. It was producing misery, trouble, car wrecks, you name it. And, you know, you come to your senses eventually and say, what am I doing here? I could be back over there in that life of peace and happiness and fulfillment instead of having a big empty hole in your spirit, you know. And so we all face these same challenges. It's not like we can't. We just get to coast through life because we're Kenneth and Gloria's children. We face tough battles, but from the way we're taught. And I encourage you to teach your children because they're going to not depart from it. It may seem like they are, but they'll come back.
People may not know what to teach their kids. And I know people say to me, oh, it must have been amazing having them as parents. And that's true. But the same correction that you or I or you got when we got in trouble or we did wrong, it's the same things you hear on the tape.
On those tapes.
So if you don't know how to teach your children, listen to the word on those tapes. Get every available voice in your hands. We want to help you with that. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Forty years ago, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland started a journey of faith to discover all that God had provided for them. Now, decades later, they want to share with you those first principles of prosperity they learned and have been living by ever since. The Laws of Prosperity, a book by Kenneth Copeland, is their special gift to you. It combines foundational teaching with practical insights. Get started today on your journey to God's abundance. Request your special gift of Kenneth Copeland's book entitled The Laws of Prosperity. This faith book will reveal to you the spiritual truths that govern prosperity in all areas of your life. To receive your copy, log on to kcm.org, call our special toll-free number 888-326-0011, or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Be sure to request your copy of The Laws of Prosperity by Kenneth Copeland today.
We feel like it's very important to get things into your hand that can change your life. And, you know, this book, The Laws of Prosperity, is something that can do just that. It can change your life, literally. And what we're doing is we're following the laws of prosperity by sowing it into your life.
That's right.
We want to bless you with it, and we know that you'll be blessed. And as we sow seed, we'll be blessed. That's the way we've done it here for 40 years of ministry, is sowing seed and trying to meet your needs. And so I really encourage you, there should be nothing to keep you from getting that book. You can pick up the phone and call. It's toll free. You can go online. You can write a letter, whatever you want to do. Get that book, though, because it can literally change your life and take you from a place of not enough to a place of more than enough.
You know, the Lord wants to do that for you today and your family. He wants your family whole. And you know what? It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how bad your family life has been or how far your children have gone from the Lord. He has a plan to bring your family back into His plan so that your life can be fully prosperous. So we're going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over every family of every person watching this broadcast. We call you in the name of Jesus. Kids, we call you in. Fathers and mothers, we call you into the gospel. Father, we ask you to send laborers across their path and across their path to bring them in and to cause them to know your word. Reveal yourself to them, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful that you are a faithful God, and you are faithful to answer the prayers of those who stand and come to you on your word.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, we command the devil to loose the families of the people within the sound of our voice, the families of our partners. In the name of Jesus, now you release your faith. You say, I believe, I receive. And go to the Word of God. Get the concordance. Get the tapes and books and CDs that we have. Whatever it takes for you to dig into the treasure of the Word of God and find out what belongs to you. Because our spiritual heritage is your spiritual heritage. We want to say thank you for joining us all week long. John, Kelly, me, we want to tell you that we love you. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching this special edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order your copy of this week's 40th anniversary celebration broadcast on CD or DVD, visit our website at kcm.org, call our toll-free number 800-575-4455, or you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Be sure to order extra copies to share with friends and family.
The Copelands have always felt like family to me. You know, that's just been, they're like mom and dad, you know, in our faith.
Well, it's like a continuum because I see the Copelands on TV several times a week, and they're like parents to me. They're like my spiritual parents.